This is Kevin Maynard with Quad City Arts. Welcome back to Talking Art, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today, I'm talking art with Courtney Lyon, Artistic Director of Ballet Quad Cities. Ballet Quad Cities kicks off their 28th season with Ballet on the Lawn at the Outing Club. Courtney, welcome to Talking Art.
Thank you so much.
So, Courtney, as I mentioned, Ballet on the Lawn kicks off this season. Can you tell people what they should expect from that first performance?
Sure. Ballet on the Lawn is a great way to get introduced to Ballet Quad Cities and everything we have to offer. It is a one-hour performance, and it's really designed to be family-friendly, and it's designed to give you a little taste in all different kinds of movement and performance aspects and a little bit of theater, just to really engage an audience and let them know that ballet truly is for everyone. Ballet is very accessible. Ballet is very current, and everyone will find something on the program that they enjoy.
I love that. So it's more of a repertoire versus just having, like, you know, a story that you're telling throughout. Is that correct? Exactly.
I like to call it like a little dessert buffet.
Yeah.
You get to sample a little something. You loved it. You want to go back for more later in the season. You try something else. You were surprised you didn't like that. You could move on to something else that you like. Yeah.
Perfect. So real quick, how can people get tickets for that performance as well as the rest of the season that's being kicked off this weekend?
Yeah, you can go to balletquadcities.com. You can go directly through our website to purchase your tickets for Ballet on the Lawn. And you can do the same thing for our season tickets. We have season tickets still available and available for any performance that we have this year. You can always call the office as well.
Perfect. That sounds great. So speaking of the rest of the season, what can people expect on this season coming up?
Oh, it's a good one. This is a good season. So we kick off with Ballet on the Lawn. That's two performances, Sunday, the 25th of August, 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. But before that, we have a very special performance at noon. It's called Children's Day at the Ballet.
Oh.
This is the second year we have done this, and it was a hit last year. So we're doing it again with a different story. This year we are creating a ballet, or we have created a ballet designed specially for our youngest audience members. It's based on the popular book, Dex, the Heart of a Hero, about a little dachshund dog who figures out that he is big and brave and strong, and he has lots of animal friends in his neighborhood. So it's a very fun, engaging story for youth. And then before that, the lawn opens up at the Outing Club, and there's face painting and crafts and treats just for the kids. So it's a very welcoming environment.
Oh, that sounds incredible.
Yeah.
Is that also available? Tickets available on the website
Tickets available on the website and through the office. And even though it is a ballet, it's a 20-minute ballet designed for children, our adult audiences also love those stories. So they're very, very engaging and very heartwarming.
Well, that's good, because I don't have kids, and that story sounds right up my alley.
Yes, perfect, right? You want to borrow someone's child to take? Yes, no, all are welcome. You do not need a child to attend. You will have a great time regardless.
That's excellent. Courtney, regarding the rest of the season, there's some really great stuff coming up, but I really do want to touch real quick about everybody's favorite, the Nutcracker.
Oh,
I mean, it's become an annual tradition here.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about this year's performance?
Absolutely. Nutcracker, oh, it just gives me the chills to talk about. It is all bells and whistles. It's the whole, how do you say that? Enchilada. It's a whole enchilada on stage. You get a full cast. We have over 60 people involved in it, many of them community cast members who are students who have auditioned to be part of the production alongside the professional dancers of Ballet Quad Cities. So they really help round out the cast, and they bring the joy and the energy. And I love working with those students, because you really get to see through their eyes the magic of working on a production like that and their excitement to bring it to the audience. And then they're very full audiences, so it's a very enjoyable experience, because it really feels like it's community supported. And when you attend as an audience member, you feel like you're really part of something special. So you make those holiday memories year after year. Every year it's slightly different. I always change up the choreography just a little bit. I like to add humor in unexpected places. I like to really play on our dancers' strengths. So it's always a unique performance.
Excellent. Well, we are looking forward to that. Courtney, I want to talk a little bit more about you as the performer, as the artistic director. Okay. So how did you get started with ballet?
I started when I was very young. I want to say I was 2.5 years old, and I saw my older sister in a ballet class. This was in St. Louis at the local YMCA. I think my mother was just looking for things for her children to do. And I looked at the students in the class who were, let's say they're 4 years old, I'm 2.5. And I already had this thought of, I can get in there and show them how to do this. You know, I can do this too. And I'm sure I was probably still in diapers. And I remember my mom pulling me back like, no, that's the big kids. You can't go in that class. And I was like, well, I can do that. So I think eventually, you know, they let me join. And I just had this desire from the start. I didn't even know what it meant to be a professional ballet dancer. I don't know that I even knew it was an option. Mm. It was like a calling I had from a very young age. And I couldn't imagine not wanting to do that. And I couldn't imagine that there were other students in my classes when I was younger that didn't also have that goal. That's all I can explain. It was just a calling for me. And now I understand that there's so many gifts you can get from training in ballet. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a career on the other side, but there's so much. It's like being on a sports team where you have that camaraderie. You know, you learn discipline, you learn like grit, you know, personal grit, having a goal for something, musicality. I mean, there's like so much that goes into it for a child that doesn't necessarily mean they need to come out the other end and be a professional ballet dancer. But I knew there's something in me that knew.
Did you have anybody else in your family that was dancing, or just happened to see that class and that was what hooked you?
Yeah, just happened to see that class. Wow. And I have three sisters. We all did dance at some point. And so it, in a way, was a after school family activity. When you train in ballet, you often train every single night of the week. So after school, we'd all go to the ballet studio together.
Wow. So it started at a young age. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that progressed through, obviously, until now, still going.
Up until now, yeah.
What is that transition like to get you from, you know, dancing as a 2.5-year-old in diapers now to being the artistic director for Ballet Quad Cities?
Well, in a way, it's really surprising to me, and in a way, it's not at all. Mm-hmm. It's very direct. It's like if I were to look back and think, is this what I thought I'd be doing? Actually, yes, even though I wouldn't have been able to tell you that. Yep. You know, well, obviously at 2.5, no. But it's like I always had it in me, and so I was just very interesting. When you look back at, you know, hindsight is 20/20, you know, and you can see the things that set you up for your future. So I trained it was a conservatory in St. Louis. I was very fortunate to have excellent training and a very nurturing environment for my upbringing, because you do spend more time in the ballet studio than you do once you get to be a teenager, at least, you know, than you do at home. And so those people in your world really influence you in the way you develop. I was very fortunate to have a lovely upbringing in that area. And then from moving from high school past that, I wasn't really sure how to do that. And there were a lot of professional or pre-professional training programs that you would move away to a different. We had a program in St. Louis, but I don't know if it was as developed then. But you look elsewhere, right? Mm-hmm. You, as a kid, you think, oh, I want to go to New York City, or I need to go to Seattle, or I need to go to, you know, these other locations to find the next step. But frankly, I came from a family of academics. Very important in my family. Mm-hmm. The thought of me not going to college was, I mean, you're going to college, yeah. You know, like, so I was like, okay. And then I was kind of scrambling to figure out how could I find a program for my undergraduate degree that would support my dance development.
And what was that undergraduate degree?
I got a BFA, a Bachelor's of Fine Arts,
yes.
at the University of Iowa. And I ended up going to Iowa for a couple of reasons. I had auditioned at a few programs throughout the Midwest. And there was a woman at University of Iowa at the time. Her name was Françoise Martinet. And she was basically one of the original members of the Joffrey Ballet, which is known as, you know, America's Ballet Company. Mm. And she was a French woman. She was trained French. And she, after she was done with her performing career, she landed at the University of Iowa as a professor. And I had met her when I was younger. She really made an impact on me, and I wanted to train with her. So that's why I looked at that program. And then I received a particular scholarship. They had one available, the Iowa Center for the Arts Scholarship. They had it in, I want to say, music, theater, and dance. I got the one for dance. And so I felt like, okay, that's a sign that I'm headed in the right direction. I've never been to Iowa. I don't know anyone there, but, you know, let's go and see what happens. So I ended up at Iowa. While I was there, because it's a degree, you have to take courses in kinesiology, anatomy, music composition, choreography, stagecraft, design, lighting. You know, you get every aspect of not just being the dancer yourself, but everything that goes into putting a production on. And I just ate it up. Love that stuff. When I was a kid, I would put on plays and productions at my house and make programs and assign, you know, roles to all my sisters and have an audience of, you know, one or two, my dad and my dog, or, you know, but I was always doing that from a young age. So it just like felt very comfortable to me. And then I just got really fascinated with how many people come together to make a product come to life. It was very eye-opening for me. And then after that, after I graduated from college, I received an offer to go to the Milwaukee Ballet and be part of their second company. So I was able to dance alongside the professional dancers of Milwaukee Ballet. And that's kind of like, that's used as like a training. It's like, it helps bridge the gap, I guess, from being a student in an academic environment to being a professional dancer. That's a hard leap to make. And it was a good experience for me. It also showed me that I didn't necessarily want to be part of something that established, that large, that I would just be participating as a dancer, if that makes sense. Because I felt like my eyes were open to more opportunities and more experiences in our art form. And so then I kind of took a pause and I didn't know what to do next. And I mean, my parents were very supportive in terms of if you want to do this, go make it happen. So that's how they were supportive, which in hindsight is great because it gave me, again, a lot of grit to be like, no, this is something I want to do. I'm going to figure this out. So I'm, you know, on my own, no car, no money, you know, trying to figure out how to make, you know, your existence as an artist, you know, happen. And I got a call that there was an opening for a dancer at Ballet Quad Cities. This is in 2000. It was a very young company then. I want to say the company was 4 years old. And they had an opening for one performance. They needed one spot filled. And I had known the current director at the time, Johanna Jatkelen. I had known her through my time at University of Iowa. So I said, sure, I'm close by. I'll come fill in that spot. And when I came to Ballet Quad Cities, the excitement that I had hoped to find when I was training as a dancer, I felt being a member of the company because it felt like my presence was immediately important. I wasn't just there to bring some other choreographer's work to life as a body on stage, doing honor to another choreographer, composition, which is lovely. But I don't know. I had this like feeling of like the clock is ticking and there's so much I want to participate in. And at Ballet Quad Cities, it was this young company that just felt very energized and exciting and everything felt important instead of routine. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like that's where I was in my spirit at the time as well. And so I came, I had a great time at that performance. I was extended a contract to finish that season. And I thought, sure, you know, I've had a great time. So I stayed to finish that season. And wouldn't you know it, 20-something years later, I'm still here. Like this company ended up being a great fit for my spirit and my personality and my desire to impact the arts and dance community.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great story. So obviously you mentioned you started as a dancer.
Yeah.
And now you are the artistic director. And so for those who may not know what that role means, what does that mean in a ballet company?
The artistic director is someone who really keeps an eye on everything artistic that happens, right? It's the output of the vision of the company. I audition dancers. Our dancers are professional dancers, which means this is their full-time job. And they come from around the country, so they train all over, and every season, every spring, dancers look for a position. Ballet dancers are looking for a position with a company, and so every spring, I get in my inbox, like, I think the average the past couple of years, about 300 applications for people to want to come dance with Ballet Quad Cities. And I sift through those and kind of figure out, okay, how many openings do we have this season? Is this person going to be a good fit? Do they have the kind of energy I'm after? After we have an interview, do they seem like someone who would really be motivated to fit in with Ballet Quad Cities? So there's a lot of that, you know, the personality part of it. I do the majority of the choreography for the company. I work really closely with Jody Cook, the founder. I feel really fortunate to be able to work with the company with the founder because the founder is a very unique person. They've had that original vision, right? Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that have the dream and the desire and the unwavering commitment to make something happen. And so I feel like I have learned a tremendous amount from working alongside of her with that determination to make something happen. Like often, you know, we're in John Deere country, right? Oh, we're in agriculture country, and people think or say, oh, we have a ballet company here. Yeah, it is surprising because not every community has an orchestra or a ballet company or, you know, so for a community of our size, to have a ballet company that's 28 years old is pretty cool. Yeah. So I definitely have appreciated her guidance and I've learned a lot from her. And I kind of thought, I think I teased her once, like it just occurred to me one day, you know what, I'm going to like hitch my wagon to this person because I'm really curious about the path of this company. Mm-hmm. And she has been very open with me about, very supportive of my artistic vision. I feel very, very supported that I can try things artistically, both as a coach and a teacher, you know, pedagogy, mm-hmm. developing a dancer, but also developing my own voice as a choreographer, and then also the artistic stamp that the company has now, because it has developed over time. So that's what I do. I'm in that studio every day from really 9 a.m. to 4, whenever. The dancers are in there all day long, and we're creating art to bring to the Quad City stages.
Yeah, no, that's truly incredible. So a couple of the things that Ballet Quad Cities is doing, obviously there's the main stage performances, mm-hmm. But there's also things that you're doing typically in the schools as well as, you know, having dance classes. Can you talk a little bit about those and maybe focusing on how people can get involved with maybe Ballet Quad Cities in those dance classes?
Oh, sure. So a big part of our mission statement is not only bringing really quality art to our community, but it's impacting people in a lot of different ways with that art. So our outreach programs they're a huge factor of, a huge way we connect with people in our community. It is a building ground, I think, for the future of arts, because mm-hmm. if you work with youth, you are maybe tapping into something that they haven't gotten in their academic classroom. You're maybe tapping into something that is already there, and they find another outlet for creativity or their imagination or exploration, or you just connect them to an experience that maybe they wouldn't have, like coming to see a live ballet performance. You might change someone's life because they've come to a live ballet performance and it sticks with them. Mm-hmm. And we impact all citizens of the Quad Cities, not just elementary school kids, but all ages receive outreach programs. Everyone deserves the art of dance in their life, and music and visual art. And dance, I feel like, is a vehicle that can bring a lot of those things together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's really meaningful when we bring in our dancers to work for Ballet Quad Cities. It's important to us that not only are they really highly trained, like creative humans and artists, but that they're really solid individuals, and they also experience the joy and the importance of giving back to their community through outreach. So everyone at Ballet Quad Cities is on board. Jody Cook just leads that, what do I call it, wagon train? I'm sure there's a better word for that. But, you know, she kind of leads the ship in that, and then, I don't know. Yeah,
excellent.
Then we flourish.
Yeah. So let's talk, you mentioned something that I really loved. You said that, you know, someone can have their life changed by seeing a live ballet. And I would 1,000% agree with that.
Would you?
Yes, absolutely. I think the arts in general have an astounding way to change lives and move people, and sometimes, you know, change ideas and change a community. So one of the things that I find most interesting about dance is that dance and I would say probably ballet in general for me is a relatively new love. Is something that I wasn't introduced to much as a child, but have seen it as an adult. And then, you know, I've seen some performances that I can't put into words what I love about them. It's mostly like it's this feeling, it's something inside exactly. where I go, I don't know what it is, but I really love that. Like it made me feel something.
Yeah.
So whenever I get a chance to talk with people who are in dance, I try to ask this question and trying to figure out like, when somebody is watching a piece of dance or watching a ballet that, you know, they're feeling moved by, like, what are the things that maybe, what are they seeing or what are the things that they should be looking for? Because dance, as far as an art form, is still somewhat new and maybe a little bit foreign to me. And like I said, I know what I love when I see it.
Yeah.
I can't explain why. And sometimes I'm curious, is there a better way to interact and watch it, if that makes sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. I think that when someone is a viewer of dance, you know, an audience member, they don't necessarily need to know anything mm-hmm. about dance. Truly, you do not have to know. Every person can dance. Every child dances. Everyone can feel the beat of music and feel something in their body, right? It's mm-hmm. like, you know, your heart beating. And the coolest thing for me is if I sit in the audience, I get the opportunity to be in the audience and watch our audience members watch the performance. You do see people start tapping their toes, or they start, you know, they might start like rocking with the music a little bit, or they might not move at all. It's like they're not breathing. And then when it's over there, you might see a gasp or something. So mm-hmm. it's you just have to open your mind for the experience that unfolds, and you don't have to understand everything that's happening on stage. I sure don't. I go to a lot of dance. I don't understand what's happening. Doesn't mean I'm going to like it any less. I always get something out of a performance that I see. Some things might be my taste. Some things might not be my taste, but it's kind of fun to figure that out as yeah. well. Some things I might think, oh, I'm not interested in that. And then it becomes like my favorite thing ever that I've ever seen. But it's what you said about you can't put it in words sometimes. And I think mm-hmm. that's the cool thing about dance is we call it the universal language, because you don't have to use your words. There are no words in dance. Typically, there's no words. So you're trying to express an idea, an emotion, sometimes a narrative, sometimes a story, like the Nutcracker. But sometimes it's like a curiosity, or it's something that's very universal to people. It's like a commonality. And then you have like a shared community feeling when you're in the audience and you're mm-hmm. watching something, even if you don't know what you're watching. Yeah. It's like you said, you feel something. Sometimes it could be you're expressing like admiration for the humans on stage, like the artistry that they have, or the athleticism they have, or the technique they have, or the virtuosity that they have. And sometimes they've made you laugh and that feels really good. Or sometimes, you know, you're like tearing up and you have no idea why. You know, something has touched mm-hmm. you. So it's just like you're just alive. I don't know. But you're alive, but it also suspends reality for you. So let's say the performance is 1 hour. For 1 hour, you don't have to think about anything else. You're there to be like entertained. And it's that energy of the connection between those humans on stage and you in the audience seat. It's that connection right there. That is what it's like to be in the audience. And that's all you have to do is show up and be open.
Excellent. So, Courtney, as part of your role as the artistic director, you have choreographed a number of pieces.
Yes.
And some of those, maybe all of these, will be on display for the 24-25
yes.
season. So I want to talk a little bit about the creation of those pieces. And,
yeah.
you know, as a choreographer, like when you step into the space and you're looking at something, say, like the Firebird, and you've got you know, a vision for what that's going to be. How much of that is you coming into the studio with those dancers, knowing exactly what you want? And is there any aspect of play, like with those dancers, to sort of figure out what those movements actually look like towards the end?
Yes. So the final thing I do in a creation process is work with the dancers. It'll usually take about, let's say, 5 weeks or so to put a production together, sometimes 4, sometimes 6, we'll say 5. Mm-hmm. And being in the room with the dancers physically, like I said, is the final like part of the puzzle coming together. I have already been thinking about that ballet maybe for a year, maybe for 2 years. You know, I've already been thinking about it. I've already been doing all my research in terms of where does it come from? Does it come from literature? you know, what culture does it come from? What's the music? I look at the score. I don't read music, but I know what a score is trying to tell me. I couldn't play the instrument, let's say that. I couldn't play the instrument, but I know what a score is trying to tell me, and I will use that score. I will use that composer for my roadmap for my piece, so I make sure I really understand, why did that composer compose that piece? What was it about? What was happening in history at the time? What was happening in politics? What was happening in fashion? I mean, it all goes together, right? So I want to make sure I come into a piece like knowing the background of it, of what came before, what I do. And then I generally have an idea of the experience I want the audience to have when they're watching the piece. And then I'll go in with the dancers. And this is what surprises people usually when they see the first part of my creation process, is I actually work in silence. Maybe it might be up to 3 days. I work in silence with the dancers. And I'm just trying to get their bodies to move in ways that to me is giving me feedback of like, yes, that is telling me this thing that I'm after in my head. They might not know what I'm after, but so I'll use my words a lot to coach them. Like, I need, you know, lead with your elbow. I need you to drop. I need you to step out. I need, you know, a broader kinesphere. I need this, because I don't want them to act yet. Sometimes eventually we'll get to acting, but the creation, I want it to be like really come from like a really honest place. And I don't want them to react emotionally to the music that they're going to hear. I know what that music is. So I'm just trying to like carve out of their bodies a way of moving that might be unique to the piece of choreography, because I want all my pieces to be as unique as possible. Hard to do as an artist to not be redundant, but that's my goal, is to work for the rest of my life and hopefully not repeat myself. But also get the dancers' bodies to dig deeper, to show them that there's other ways of expressing an idea. Yeah. I don't know if this is making sense.
No, it's making perfect sense.
So I'll, because I work with my dancers really closely. Some dancers I've worked with for several years, I know usually how their bodies move. I know, oh, this person's usually going to give me a move that looks like this. Or so it's up to me to keep digging out of them, like, no, let's try this, let's try that, let's try. And then I'll start putting movements together into a phrase. And then I'll call it an A phrase. And then I make a B phrase. And then I'll make something that's totally different from what I just made. So I like make a lot of like material, like you're making a recipe, right? And you're making all the little pieces of it. And then I like set it aside for a while. And then I'll come to a piece of music, and then I will start attaching movement to music, and I'll keep just moving that around and moving that around and moving. And sometimes those dancers' brains, oh my gosh, are just getting twisted, because in that process, sometimes I move really fast. And so they have to have all of that information inside their body. So I can say, okay, you know what? Do that halftime and face upstage, but don't use your arms for it yet. I'll tell you when, you know, and they have to show me with their body that as we're building or crafting what's going to go up onto stage. So they are, sometimes I call them like these little human like computers, because dancers, oh my gosh, are so intelligent, because they have to remember the steps, remember how to do them well, keep time with the music, keep time, manage their bodies in space, not whack into someone else. Be cautious and careful and composed when they're dancing with another person, like partnering. You know, you've got a person lifted up in the air, you have to set them down a certain way so they don't get injured, and you have to do it with a certain amount of emotion on this time and music in this space. And I mean, it's like, if you really thought about it, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
We always joke that we want to like mic someone up on stage, like mic up one of the dancers. And so the audience could like hear what they're thinking as they go. Like, oh, sometimes we have a good laugh about that. But
I mean, I would actually really love to see
right?
that. I think there is an audience for that. So
yeah, absolutely. So that's my process. It might be different than other people's. It might be the same. That's what tends to work for me.
Yeah. Well, I think that's also the joy for a lot of dancers working with different choreographers, and probably as a choreographer working with other choreographers, because you get to see how they build something.
Yeah,
and go,
exactly.
Oh, I like that process.
Yeah, so. Some people go in the studio knowing I want this step and then this step, and it's going to go A, B, C, D. But I find like the best surprises happen when I'm working with the dancers. We tend to laugh a lot as well. Like Jody's always like, I hear laughing coming in that room, coming out of that room. You know, it sounds like things are going well. But I think that to get someone to be in a place where they can be very creative, you kind of have to loosen up a little bit, and you have to, like, I have to become kind of a goofball, or I have to go to a place where I risk making myself look like it, you know, an idiot. Yeah. And then the dancers will do that as well. So we kind of are in that place together where we're trying to physically like go past boundaries of, you know, because in life, like, we're all trapped in these kinespheres. You're not supposed to, you know, sit too close to someone on the train, or you're not supposed to, you know, assume someone wants a hug, or you're not, you know, but I don't know. So we like break, you know, we break out of those bubbles in the dance room. So,
yeah. Well, and I always think that, you know, if you're having fun on stage or you've had fun creating this piece, your artist or your audience realize that and feel that.
Yeah.
Like, happy artists make happy audiences.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think
exactly.
That's a great process to create. So real quick, I want to give you an opportunity to sort of talk about Ballet Quad City's upcoming season.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Touch on yes. a couple of those and just tell us what you've got coming up.
Yeah, so Ballet on the Lawn, that's our kickoff at the end of August. And then we have the Twisted Tales of Poe in October at the Spotlight Theater. And that is going to be an all new production, except for 5 minutes that I created last October. I had an idea in my head I wanted to work out last October, and it was fairly successful. It was based on Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven. Mm. And so here we are. It's going to be a full-length event of Poe stories. So that is all original. The Nutcracker at the Adler Theater. We also have a weekend in Cedar Rapids. So if people can't make it to the Adler Theater in Davenport, we also will be in Cedar Rapids at the Paramount Theater for a weekend with Orchestra Iowa. And then in February, we're at Galvin Fine Arts Center with Carmen, the spicy, sensual, seductive love story of a ballet. That music, oh my gosh, I love that music. And then we end up our season back at the Adler in Davenport with The Firebird, which is a very notable Stravinsky piece of music that was made for dance. It's very iconic. And it's going to be a great way to end our season.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And before I let you go, I have to ask the one question I'm sure everybody wants to know about, the new location in Moline.
The new location.
How are things going with that? Where are we at in that process?
Things are progressing well. I feel very fortunate that we have a building that we will be able to move into in Moline, where we will be able to double or even triple the space we have to work and create right now. We're in these lovely, charming studios that I feel like I've been able to make, you know, a lot of great art in, but physically it's too small for us.
Yeah.
Physically, if we want to continue to grow and if we want a place where we can bring the community in to for our outreaches, bring other artists into, you know, we can make it more of a community space. That's what I'm really looking forward to as well. But we are still in our capital campaign phase.
So that was going to be sort of my next question is, you know, obviously, you know, putting together a new building, whether it already has the infrastructure or not, is an expensive process. There's a lot of materials that go into that. There's a lot of like new equipment that you need to fill the space, let alone maintenance, all of those sort of things.
Exactly.
So how can people get involved? How can people support Ballet Quad Cities?
Well, any donation is helpful, small or large. Anything is helpful. Any arts organization really is dependent on, you know, the people who believe in what they do. Ticket sales alone does not support Ballet Quad Cities. Very, I would imagine, very few ballet companies or very few, you know, theater companies, anything, you know, can survive off ticket sales alone. So you can go to our website. We have QR codes on most of our printed material. There's donate buttons all over our website. You can choose to donate to our outreach programs. You can choose to donate to our Point Shoe Fund. You can choose to donate to our capital campaign for our new building. And there's so many ways to keep Ballet Quad Cities moving forward into the future. We've been here for 28 years. That is phenomenal. Not a lot of ballet companies can say that. So I'm just excited about the potential and the possibility for our future.
Absolutely. So hypothetically, say there's somebody listening right now who is like, I want to make a very large gift, but I've got some questions. Where's the best place for them to get in touch with you or maybe Jody to talk through that?
Yeah, if they are a phone person, they're going to call the office at 309-786-3779, and they'll reach a lovely person on the other end that will answer all their questions. If they are an emailer, our email is on our website as well.
Perfect. Courtney, before I let you go today, is there anything else that you want to discuss, anything you want to talk about, tell people?
That Ballet Quad Cities is a hidden gem. That is not to be missed. And I feel like once people experience it, they say, where have I been my whole life? And when is the next performance? So I would say, do not wait. Don't sleep on it. There's so many great arts in the Quad Cities. So enjoy it.
Perfect. Courtney, thank you for being my guest today on Talking Art.
Thank you.
Thank you again to Quad City Bank and Trust for supporting Talking Art. You can see Ballet Quad Cities kick off their 28th season at the Outing Club on Sunday, August 25th. For more information and season ticket sales, you can check out Ballet Quad Cities at balletquadcities.com.